This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome back to iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
Quite a day today.
It's been a whirlwind.
Yeah, it's a good one.
8 hours and 4 hours.
Pro CPR and Pro First Aid is featured on The Doctors today.
Yes, it is.
The movie. Not the movie.
Not the movie.
The Daily Show.
The Daily Show. And people are calling in.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's when a person should be calling or going to the emergency room is the feature, I think, of today there.
Okay.
And we're honored that we would get picked. The Pro First Aid training, profirstaid.com, was picked to help people get trained if people would just go there. And, yeah, it was really great.
Yep. Free training, www.profirstaid.com.
Yeah. I was thinking about trying to integrate something like Red Green into Pro First Aid or Pro Home Safety.
Well, this
duct tape.
Keep your stick on the ice.
Duct tape. No, I was thinking more like duct tape.
Well, duct tape, you could broken bones.
Broken bones.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Splinting.
Yeah, splinting. Yep. Hemorrhaging.
Direct pressure for bleeding.
A tourniquet. Just wrap it up. Don't even do direct. Just wrap it up with duct tape. You got to roll.
I'm sure you could probably figure out, like, traction splint.
Oh, easy.
Yeah. I think there's a way they can make the adhesive an ointment and an adhesive at the same time.
Antibacterial.
Hey, it is good to get rid of warts.
Hey.
It is very good for wart removal.
That. Yeah. Yeah. My wife has used that.
Yep.
On a wart?
Yes. Yeah. Huh. My family. Yep.
My wife wants to use duct tape, but not for wart removal.
I like
duct tape. Probably for keeping me a little quiet.
Or for babysitting.
It does work well for babysitting. It is a good...
No, that's Velcro.
Oh, Velcro.
Here, sit here.
How do you suspend off the wall like that?
Yeah, what's the material those pants are made out of again? It doesn't feel like corduroy to me.
Shag's back in.
Shag pants.
Hook and loop.
Maybe shag carpet, but not shag pants.
You know, his pants feel an awful lot like a burr to me.
He's got such a rough bottom.
Ready or not, it's time for this week's Hot Topic.
Well, let's take a look at today's Hot Topic. Did you guys hear about the person who beat a rare flesh-eating disease? All right, so you guys have heard about the plane crash, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
because it was right after the landing in the Potomac or the Hudson.
Yeah,
yeah. So
this was bad though. Yeah. Everyone survived the Potomac crash.
Yeah,
no one survived this crash, and in fact, it even killed one person on the ground.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's extremely sad.
It's very sad, and I'll tell you, we're gonna post this on the iRescueRadio.com website. You'll be able to find this news article. And within the news article, there's actually a line-by-line description of the last conversation, the last dialogue between the captain and the co-pilot, right?
And the stewardess.
And the stewardess.
Yeah.
It's disturbing, to say the least.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's very revealing as well.
It's revealing. It's disturbing. Yeah. I mean, it's bad.
You know, how many of us have gotten on a plane just going, I really hope this is my captain's best day.
Yeah.
That they brought their A game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't getting in your car and being half asleep and going in a ditch.
You can't coast to a stop.
No. It's on or off.
It's right.
It's one or zero.
Yep.
Well, what was really amazing about the story, this happened in the place where I used to work in the ambulance.
Oh, in the same area?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you would have maybe responded to it.
I would have if I was still living there, yeah. Oh, that is the place where I used to work.
Oh, that's crazy.
When I heard it and I said, what location? I couldn't believe it.
You knew right where it was at.
Exactly.
Oh, that's bizarre.
Yep.
Well, anyways, it raises a lot of questions, obviously, and God be with those who perished in that. We remember those people and their families. But speaking about some of the more intricate details, we spoke to a pilot just this morning.
Yeah.
Now, he's a smaller aircraft pilot, but still has a lot of years of experience.
Yeah. Brought a lot of very good, raised a lot of good points.
He did. And one of the points that I thought was very valid is he said, what about an idea where when you're lined up getting ready to go through the the actual ramp,
the
right?
Gate.
The gate to get on your aircraft. It actually has a digital screen that reads out the weather conditions, where you are and where you're going, the turbulence level, what you can expect in flight, turbulence, no turbulence, blah, 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 cold, rainy, foggy,
icy. Yeah.
And then, he said, a bit of a biography about your pilot's experience.
Huh.
Correct.
Interesting.
So many years of military flight experience, so many years of veteran flight commercial experience, required numbers of hours to get your license.
Experience with this particular airplane.
Correct.
That you're boarding.
Yes.
And there's differences. I mean, that's what I'm picking up from this article.
Yeah.
Is the lack of experience by this pilot with this particular plane.
Yeah.
Other areas of inexperience as well, but in particular with this particular plane.
In other words, not 30 years of ultralight experience.
But also in the region by which he flew. It states in here where he questions whether he should even be in charge in the Northeast.
But, winter. In that article then, though, didn't you say, how many times did he fail the test?
He failed. What I heard in the news this morning is, prior to coming to, I think it's Corrigan or Colgan or whatever the flight company is, Colgan, C-O-L-G-A-N Air, he had failed his flight training 3 times.
How does he get to fly
and
then?
And then came to Colgan Air, did not inform them that he had failed 3 times.
Oh, my.
And failed 2 additional times once he arrived at this airline and then eventually passed. You know, and while it was interesting, while the Colgan Air official was in court testifying about this, the family was jeering. The families, many of whom have attended all these hearings, were jeering in the back, going, "That's even a low standard."
Yeah.
Now, and they would indicate, well, it's consistent with other airlines. You know,
who cares about
that's
other
saying,
airlines?
Okay, you got under the bar.
Yeah.
What's best for your clients?
Yeah, don't compare to other airlines. Compare to the national or international standards. And like John was saying this morning, the pilot we were talking to, he said, if you require 5,000 hours of flight time before you're certified, put down that the person's had 25,000 hours.
Yeah, yeah. That would make sense.
Commercial jet flight.
Exactly.
But no, would it change, though? And I guess one of the points I was thinking of, would it change or would it terrify people that see a screen like that where it says the guy just got his license like yesterday?
Well, I'll tell you what it would do. I'll tell you exactly what it would do is, number one, I think it would enforce probably more strict protocols.
Right. They're being more transparent.
More transparency, but they're also going to have more testing, or they might have to do more co-pilot flight time, or they might actually have to do more certification flight time.
I couldn't care less, honestly, what level of experience the steward has.
Yeah, right.
In comparison to the pilot, we are talking about...
Or the co-pilot.
Or the co-pilot, precisely.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, at best, this person should, you know, God rest his soul, should have been no more than a co-pilot.
Yeah. Or
I
still
don't care
in process.
If it's an albatross with wings, he shouldn't have been flying it.
Well, and he was saying it was a twin turboprop, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't catch what kind of
plane it was. But it wasn't a major jetliner. I think that was the whole point.
But there's still two. There's still two people. There's still a pilot and a co-pilot.
And there's 49 people on board. That's the point. I don't care if it's a toy plane. If there's lives at stake, it's a commercial airline.
Right.
That's the point.
And never make them fly into new situations that they're not equipped to handle.
Yeah. Hey, what does it say about the co-pilot, though? What was his deal?
You know, they really...
It was a girl. It was a woman. And she was young, 24 years old.
Okay.
And it sounds like she was on track with her co-pilot's certification and license.
Okay.
As far as hours required and so on and so forth. But what was strange in the dialogue that they got off the black box was she had some questions about his abilities.
Oh, she
was... what it sounded like to me.
Okay.
And then she was very professional and kind about it in saying, oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. But she was saying, wow, that's not a whole lot of hours.
Okay, so yeah. She was actually questioning him then.
All yeah, right. And then she starts bringing up questions. And this reminds me very much like the senior and junior paramedic thing.
Oh, sure.
You know, I mean, when we get to be a paramedic, we got a couple thousand hours under our belt, right,
yeah,
of
yeah.
training and things, certifications and things like that. But nothing compared to the thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of street experience,
mm-hmm.
which is, in my opinion, the beginning of the learning mode.
Oh, yeah.
And how yeah. to handle different situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's probably very similar when you become a pilot.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, the way I read into the dialogue, she's basically getting his credentials, and then she's looking at the exterior side of the windshield of this thing, going, yeah. have you ever seen this much ice? And I can just picture that what she's saying is, because I sure hope you have.
Oh.
Because I haven't. As a okay. co-pilot, I've not yeah. seen this much ice, and I'm a little worried. So yeah. any words of encouragement that, oh, I've been through this before, here's what we're going to do, instead he just starts jockeying back, oh, boy, that's more ice than I've ever seen in my whole flight time.
Oh, that's encouraging. Oh.
Yeah. And inevitably, that's, and John was telling us this morning, that's what caused this plane to crash. It stalled mid-air because losing right. Its speed, and instead of nosing down to gain more speed...
Mm-hmm.
They nosed up,
right.
and it stalled and flopped right on its back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Horrible crash. God bless everyone who's involved in this crash. And, oh, man. But obviously, there's things that need to be handled and handled differently when it comes to flight. And yep. anything, I think. Even like train engineering. We've had a lot of train accidents lately.
You know, it's amazing. You look in the news in probably the last 6 months, I think I've heard more plane crashes, more train crashes than I ever have.
Well,
I know.
In the last two of significance, yeah. there was admitted texting
yes.
on
yes.
their phones.
Yes. Yeah.
Amazing.
One additional thing
yep.
to disengage them from their core responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you know, I think there's probably room for a show on technology gone bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe we'll talk about that on one of our upcoming shows. But anyways, I thought for the hot topic, that was certainly something we should be thinking about. And I guess it'd be neat to hear back from some of our audience people and mm-hmm. hear what they think about it, too. It's a disturbing thing. We put our trust in people a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure there's ways we could kind of beef that up a little bit.
Yeah.
iRescue Radio's top medical news.
Now, the top medical news story for today, we have to talk about three different things.
Okay.
Because two of them are just...
And this goes back to our origins.
Yeah.
As a podcast.
Yeah.
And I kind of miss it.
Yeah.
All right, so, let's hear it. Come
so
on.
This is a retro
podcast. I mean, these are just funny. We joke around a lot about going on diets.
I'm on one, and I just ate pizza
for
lunch.
Are you, Jody, on one?
It doesn't apparently look that way, because I just ate pizza for lunch.
I didn't say anything about whether it looks like it or not. I just asked, are you on a diet?
Okay, I'm watching what I eat carefully, as opposed to just mowing whatever gets in front of me.
Okay,
because I'll put it that way.
I was going to say, I watch everything I eat.
Well, I do, too.
Right in my mouth and right down into my stomach.
I'm being a little more careful on my choices of what I eat. That's what I said.
I think Dan's on a diet.
I'm steady.
Steady Eddie.
Steady Eddie.
I'm not losing, and I'm not gaining.
Mm-hmm. In an economy like this, it's not bad.
I mean, the worst part is when the scale talks back to you.
Yeah. I like my talking scale.
Please step on the scale.
One at a time, please.
Yeah, well, now here's the deal. Everybody who has some weight to lose, cheer up.
Yep.
Because in this case, being fat beat the flesh-eating disease.
Well, there you go. If I just okay. gain some more weight, that flesh-eating disease will have lots to chew on, and I'll be fine, because it'll die out by the time it chews it up.
Ironically, that's what happened to this Victorian woman who beat a rare flesh-eating disease, says she survived the terrifying ordeal only because she was fat.
But
I don't get it.
6 months later, she died of cardiac arrest due to being overweight. No,
she did not.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
Different story. The shop assistant thought she had a fever and stomach ache until she was told the life-threatening condition was eating through her stomach muscles and body tissue.
Yuck.
Being big saved my life, she said. If I had have been smaller, it would have eaten my organs and my insides.
Which I don't get. If you're overweight, are your organs overweight?
Yeah, they get fatty deposits
yeah,
in your liver.
Yeah, they do.
And
so she could be right here.
Because it wasn't eating her.
No, it was eating the fatty tissue deposits.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, I guess that's what she's referring to.
It sounded like it was going after her organs.
No.
Well, she says maybe fat people do have a good life after all. A little out of context.
Well, I have a good life, but it's not because I'm overweight.
Ms. Robinson contracted the infection, necrotizing fasciitis.
Ooh, nasty.
Yep, which is deadly in up to 50% of cases.
That's a serious mortality rate.
It is. 50-50, toss a coin. Mm-hmm. After an operation to remove cysts from her ovaries, that's what she thought it was.
Oh.
As Ms. Robinson's condition deteriorated, or maybe that's she's how got she an got infection. It.
No, oh, that's
she
what
got it.
Yeah.
After she had an operation to remove cysts from her ovaries.
Right. Now she's called me an infection.
Yep. As Ms. Robinson's condition deteriorated, she was airlifted to the Alfred Hospital's intensive care ward in a bid to save her. Hmm. Surgeons operated every 3 days to remove infected skin, and she received hyperbaric treatment.
Oh, yeah.
Medical experts have marveled at her brave fight, which will be documented on Channel 7's Medical Emergency Series on Wednesday. But the Bendigo woman said her terrifying ordeal was a blur. I could hear my mum talking to me. They got to be from, like, Australia or something.
Yeah, Victoria.
But I was too sick to even move or talk, she said. I just had to lay there. Everyone said, you almost died. But I try not to think too much about that. I want to put it all in the past. Her fiancé, Ashley Bacon, proposed on a recent trip to Venice, and they plan to marry on Valentine's Day.
Bacon? Bacon? Come on.
Do you think this is like a tabloid?
I'm wondering. Her fiancé, Mr. Bacon.
Pack your angry eyes just in case.
This is Pork Belly. When will you marry Mr. Bacon?
Yeah.
That's naughty.
Aw.
It's naughty.
Well, you know what, though?
It's naughty.
I'm glad she did well. But you know what? I just have to say this. It wasn't because she was overweight. It wasn't because she was too fat.
It was a miracle.
It was a miracle. It was because of what the virus decided to attack. My goodness, the virus is going to attack.
Well, it was a virus.
Attack.
Well, and it doesn't
staff.
Go into so, this.
It's
it does
bacteria.
Not go
right,
into
bacteria,
it. In the so. Article, no. that the doctors suggest. Yeah.
No, I think it's her guess. Well, I was fat, so I'm good. I could say that about a lot of things. I'm too fat, so when I fell down, I didn't break my arm.
That bullet would have penetrated his heart had it not had 45 pounds of fat to go through first.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
So we got our fat division within the Army?
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, you guys go first.
It's called the National Guard and the Army Reserve.
Roy!
I was in the Army Reserve, and I weighed nothing. Like, nothing compared to what I did in basic training. I gained almost all my weight back. And was allowed to.
So Weekend Warrior was very
not
appropriate.
Good for me.
No. Weekend Buffet.
I'm not talking about any other National Guard or Army Reservists. I'm talking about me.
The Army truck stopped at Denny's on the way to the camp.
Must have been them good MREs I ate all the time.
Yeah, right. Eat the MREs up, and then we'll go to McDonald's.
All right, so... Yeah, exactly. All right, so part two...
Uh-huh.
Of medical mysteries.
Yeah. Yes.
Surgeons. Which one do I choose first?
You got to go with the large.
Come on. Let's hear it. Let's talk about this one.
Yeah. Surgeons remove a 43-kilogram, that is about a 94-pounder, tumor from a man's abdomen.
Oh.
Oh.
What did he do for a living, Roy?
He was a rickshaw man. Meaning he pulled around a rickshaw, you know, the people that ride in the cart, you would think. The poor guy was always 95 pounds overweight.
Oh.
So surgeons in Bangladesh capital Dhaka Tuesday successfully removed a 95-pound or 43-kilogram unusual tumor. You think unusual, quote-unquote? Lodged in the abdomen of a 35-year-old man. I like how they say lodged.
Yeah. Well, and I like the fact that they say it's the team that removed it because it took four people to
it
lift
did.
The dumb thing.
Yeah.
95 pounds.
95 pounds.
That's
Can
a
you
big
imagine?
Tumor.
That's like having two salt bags.
Well, and what was it hooked to? I mean, it had to just be.
Oh, the pressure that it put on his body. Anyways, plus he was a rickshaw puller. The dude's in optimal health now.
That's the amazing thing. If he's pulling a rickshaw around, that's not easy.
It's like he carried around a 100-pound person inside of him along with the rickshaw.
That's he has to be in good shape.
I'm sorry. I'm going to Bangladesh for my workouts. We should start a rickshaw business up and down Plainfield.
There you go.
We'll just commute people up to the top of the hill and back down again.
That would be a good weight loss program for me. That might work.
I wonder if we could eBay that.
Get a rickshaw.
Try to find a rickshaw cheap. All around Rockford.
So did he carry it in a wheelbarrow?
Roy Shaw's rickshaw service.
Roy Shaw rickshaw.
Roy or Rick, I don't care.
I don't care what you call his first name. I want
that's
a Shaw.
Right. That's right.
All right, so anyways, it was an abnormal mass and very unusual. Apparently we can call it benign, Professor Omar Ali of the surgery ward said, adding that it may be lipoma. So it's a fatty tumor.
Yeah.
The giant tumor the size of four watermelons. Oh. What?
Not the size of. The weight of.
The weight. It was the size of four watermelons. So if you put four watermelons, that's a little bit.
That's a big tumor.
It's a little bit ambiguous, but.
It's a big tumor.
Because there's round watermelons. There's oblong watermelons.
Glad he felt free to take care of this.
Sooner.
Well, it said it was reducing the size of his organs.
Man. Yeah.
Wow. Well, and taking up the cavity of his.
How did they keep
having problems breathing?
I wonder if it was vascular. No, because it was a lipoedema. So yeah. It was big. No.
But it said it had blood vessels attached.
Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is doctors said that it had been growing for at least 4 years. Now, that's a fast-growing tumor and had huge blood vessels attached to it.
Well,
this
it
was a
to.
Major surgery. I'm sorry.
Oh, sure.
This baby had a life of its own.
But can you imagine in one fail swoop losing 95 pounds?
Oh,
can you imagine
piece
the life?
Of cake. He's the fastest rickshaw puller around.
It's amazing. I can imagine.
Hey.
I can just imagine the guy. Whoa.
Anybody else want another ride? We can add two more people out here.
And you know, in Bangladesh, he's probably a pretty small guy. I bet he's under 5 foot five.
We should Google it. We should see if you can find the guy.
Yeah.
Like New York bagels?
Bangladesh.
Bagel dish. Can I have another bagel, please?
The reason he had the tumor was not from eating bagels.
No. Nope. All right. Last but not least, I'm sorry.
What?
How does this stuff happen?
Well, this one seems far more plausible. Far more plausible.
Yeah, but the tumor turns out to be a 25-year-old towel?
Oh, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine.
It says doctors in Japan who carried out surgery on a man to remove a tumor had good news and bad news. I love that.
Well, sir, we got good news and we got bad news.
The good news is you signed a waiver and you can't sue us.
Right. The good news is you're going to live. Bad news, your wife is not getting her hand towel back.
That doesn't make sense. How can a towel even exist for 25
years? Read the story.
Well, it says the patient had been carrying the cloth since 1983. I like how you put it. It's not like he's carrying it in his stomach. Well, I don't have any extra hands. I don't think I'll put it in my stomach.
I can put it there.
Yeah. He had the cloth in him since 1983 when surgeons left it in him after a minor operation to treat an ulcer.
Okay, wait a minute. So it's not a towel.
Well, that's what they're saying. It's carrying the cloth.
That's a surgery sponge.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
If it's that, then I have no... I mean, it could happen.
Surgical sponge.
They failed to remove...
There you go.
I'm sorry, but towel in my handbook means like... Bathing towel.
I think there's been a little enhancement to the title here.
That's why I was wondering.
Beach towel.
That's what I'm thinking. I think how can a beach towel exist? Come on. All right,
man.
It was only then that surgeons realized it was a towel. The towel was greenish blue, although we are not sure about
its original color. Like it really matters.
Well, it's never going to match the dishes.
No, I think it was a stripe before.
Jeez. So it's a surgical towel. Okay, now we know.
That doggone thing had been crumpled to the size of a softball. Well, how big was it when it started?
That'd be pretty good. Wow.
Weird.
All right.
The former patient has no plans to sue the hospital, which is in talks with him over compensation or other measures. Other measures like what? Sending him away to a deserted island so he doesn't talk?
Looks at what you mean. This is 25
Wherever
years ago.
Wherever he's going to need a towel, like Tahiti.
Yeah, Tahiti.
Well, the Japanese media reports said the man, who was not identified, still had his spleen removed.
Oh.
Well, while we're in here.
Hey, we went in for a spleen. We're coming out with a spleen. I don't care what we found in here. We identified that pain there as a spleen problem, and it's out of there.
Well, they got what they were going for.
Yeah, we would never be able to charge for
a towel
removal.
It does take a fair degree of honesty. For the doctors to say,
"Hey,
the guy's under anesthesia.
Brother,
don't you just all look at each other in the operating room, going, mum's the word.
Hey, 25.
No, you listen, don't talk. I don't
25
talk.
25 years later, it ain't my bag.
Well, that's the thing.
I'm the hero.
Original surgeon is probably dead and gone.
Right? Exactly.
Well, what's the point?
You know
it's probably not the original hospital.
No. You know what's interesting though? That happened to my wife.
Left a sponge in.
They left a sponge in, but you know, they have different procedures. They have different procedures now.
One,
they count.
Two.
That's exactly. That's it.
Three.
They're counting 10, and then get to 1, 2, 3. They get to 9, and everybody looked at each other.
Nice.
And then they everybody was joking, laughing, everything before this. They'd sewed her all up. She was all ready to go, and the doctor said, "Hold it." They counted again, got to 9, and she was just finished sewing her up. Everything was all done.
Nice.
They counted again, 9, and they're looking on the floor, and I'm standing there. I'm looking on the floor and everything else because I'm thinking, did they drop it? He's looking in the trash. They're counting everything. He says, stop. And everybody at that point, everybody was serious could be. There wasn't one more word said. Opened her back up, reached in. Sure enough, there it was.
Oh. You know what?
That's unbelievable.
I know, but in all fairness, when a sponge gets soaked... Mm-hmm. With blood.
Oh, it's hard to see.
Like blood.
Yeah. It looks like tissue. Yeah,
it does. And you know what? It was way up in the cavity, packed, because you use them to pack the sponge. There was way up in the cavity. So it was just simply a matter of they didn't count before they closed.
More importantly, after they closed. How do you survive standing there watching your wife in surgery? I would be on the floor. I would be the pool of blood.
Well, Dan, working on the ambulance for as many years as
I have. I'm sorry, Jody.
I don't get my kicks from looking at blood, but
no,
it's something you kind of get.
You don't faint during stitches?
Not usually. I did get a little lightheaded my first rotation through an open heart. I'm not sure if it was when the really shiny stainless steel sterilized hammer came down on the what looked like a splitting wedge.
Yes, and it goes...
And it went, tink!
Yep, it's
pretty
wild.
As they started to use the separators to pull the rest of the sternum
over. Okay, that's enough.
Well,
somewhere in there, that's when it went.
Didn't I say it was getting warm in the room?
Ears started ringing. My forehead got a little sweaty. I think I'll be excused now. Thank you.
Had to eat the pizza before.
Yeah, of course.
Think happy thoughts, Dan. Think happy thoughts.
Does your husband usually turn green?
Jody, go grab those two ammonia inhalants.
Now it's time for the ProCPR.org Puzzler. What the heck would you do? ProCPR.org. Online training when you want it, where you want it.
For this week's Stumper, Stump the Chumper.
Ooh, Stump the Chump.
Yeah.
At least it's not Stump the Chump.
Well, this is going to be a little funny question.
All right.
We had a pretty good thunderstorm last night.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Woke me up 3 times.
Anybody see the lightning?
Three times.
No.
What do you mean no?
I did.
Did you really?
Yeah. I had to use the little was boys' room.
Oh, because so there wasn't a coon staring in the window and all of a sudden the light came on and you went,
No, that was the other night. Yeah, yeah. That was the night before that.
That's not my cat.
That's the coon's revenge.
That stinking thing was taking out our anti-animal bird feeder.
Laughing.
Yeah.
Animals?
Yeah.
Anyways. Chuckle.
So what were we going to say about the
light? Well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Here's a scenario.
All right.
You are... Well, this really happened to a person.
Yeah.
You're at a gas station. Mm-hmm. Under a covered top.
Okay.
And there's a thunderstorm. And you're filling your vehicle. And all of a sudden, you feel a little funny. And a huge, bright flash of light... goes off around you, and then it's just utter blackness.
Oh, that's not good.
Okay?
Okay.
The lightning bolt did not hit you directly.
Mm-hmm.
It hit the pavement in proximity to you.
Yep.
Upon the metal gas pump.
No.
Pavement.
There was no direct electrocution at all. It was all transferred power from a near miss. Okay? Yep. So not direct hit. Yep. I haven't met a lot of people that survive a direct hit.
It's rare.
I have not. I think even they are getting a static bolt from a direct hit somewhere else if they survived.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that can handle that amount of sheer perfect hit electricity without dying. Okay? Yeah. So anyways, not my point.
Gord.
The person... Yeah. The person walks or is laying on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
kind of changing things up a little bit here. And you were in the gas station.
All right.
After 5 minutes, the person comes to. You come to. Other than a little blister on the elbow about the size of a nickel. clearly indicating that there was some form of electrocution, obviously.
Okay.
And feeling a little jittery, with a headache, and a little shortness of breath, the patient does not want to go in. They do not want the ambulance. They say, "Just I want to go home. I want to just rest."
Mm-hmm.
They go home. What possible complications could arise that night or even 2 to 3 days later?
First of all, he's
going to
get a new nickname, Sparky.
Jody.
Sorry, Dan.
I wouldn't even qualify this junior high level.
Dan's running out of patience.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Dan. Tell us your wisdom.
Go ahead, Dan. Oh. You tell us what we should look for.
Go ahead. Tell us,
who,
Dan.
The patient or person next to him laying in bed?
You might not have been here, but I was asking a question. What might you expect from that patient the same night or within 24 to 48 hours?
You didn't answer my question.
What?
Are you asking me if I'm the patient?
No.
I'm sitting next to the patient. Okay. What should I be expecting from the person that got hit by lightning?
The most thumping part of the scenario is figuring out who is the patient.
Okay. Always keep them guessing.
That's right. Come on, Dan.
Here's self-vindication. It really wouldn't matter, would it? We're all conscious here. So what things, if I were the patient, should I be worried about? And if I weren't the patient and knew about the patient, what should I think the patient's going
to experience?
I
think you walk away from it. I think you're good. I think it's one less emergency room visit.
Wow.
Grand a pop.
Wow.
Well, Dan, we just wanted to thank you for coming on the show today.
Dead serious.
You know the reality, Dan, though? What you just said is what most people are going to say.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You are in the majority.
If that makes you minority people.
No, it makes us alive. It makes us alive and makes your people dead.
Hey, the majority of us are still alive.
Well,
it all depends on who the majority is.
In the majority that we're thinking of, no, you wouldn't be.
The majority we're thinking of end up in the cardiology department one way or the other.
Yeah.
If you survive the lightning hit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you get up.
Yeah.
And you go home.
Uh-huh.
Have a glass of orange juice. You know, relax. Kick the feet up.
Wrong answer.
Like, what's the doctor going to do? Bypass?
Well, I tell you.
No.
Dan, there's a lot of...
Stint?
No.
Nothing to stint. You got hit by a lightning bolt. It's good. If nothing else, it shocked the plaque off your arteries.
Nice try.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's about a 48 to 72 hour observation window.
Yeah.
Electrocution
to do
usually
what?
To watch for dysrhythmias or arrhythmias.
Very common afterwards. Very common.
Because, see, the head bone's connected to the neck bone, and the neck bone's connected to the back bone, and the back bone's connected to the... I get my point.
Yeah.
If it went in anywhere and came out anywhere else, there's a chance that it went through the thoracic cavity and burned up the electrical pathways, or at least hurt them. And though the person is in a perfusing rhythm at the time, they can actually begin to show dysrhythmias and cardiac complications within 24, 48, or 72 hours.
See, what happens is it actually does damage that your body can compensate for a short period of time, but eventually your body can't compensate for that damage.
Now, if the person has a blown-out elbow...
And what if you get a heart attack when you get the emergency room visit, Bill?
That would be a complication of the first thing.
That's in more than 72 hours. That's about 2 weeks.
Right.
That is a kind of a shock, but a whole different
one. You couldn't just take me to the med center?
Now you've been shocked twice. And either way, you were going to die.
Exactly.
And you still get the nickname Sparky.
Well, you could stick the emergency room for a grand leave.
Oh, nice. So the thing of it is...
That's what I'm talking about.
So the thing of it is that if you get electrocuted at all, ever, it's always a good idea to go in, be evaluated, get a baseline EKG to know where you're at right now.
All right, here's a more realistic scenario.
Okay.
Your child, and you're an electrical outlet.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Takes a little blip.
Yep.
Right?
On the lip.
No, but I'm serious. The realistic thing versus a lightning bolt hitting you.
Okay, it was a real story.
99% chance, more likely, that your child
is
will
gonna
touch
take
an outlet.
Yeah. Bite. on a cord or a...
And are you suggesting in that instance...
Bring him in.
Bring him in?
Yeah. Your daughter got electrocuted.
Which one?
Do you want me to say? Do you want me to, yeah. Which one and what time?
How many times did this happen?
Tall daughter.
Tall. Bridget?
That's not at college.
Wait. Did she really?
Yeah, wasn't she walking around feeling kind of weird? She got a little
gosh,
poke.
You're right. She did. Oh.
What'd she get a poke from? It was from the weed whacker or something.
The electrical weed whacker.
Right.
Yeah. And how about my wife with the hedge clippers?
Yeah.
Same sawed thing? Right through the electrical.
Oh, I've done that before.
Zah!
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Big white light.
Boom. White light.
It didn't shock me, though, for some reason. And it didn't shock your wife either, right?
Really?
It did not.
Weird.
Well, wow, you may not have been grounded
not,
at all.
But
because you have a ground
quick,
from the
jump.
Plug. The plug is grounded on the machine.
Yeah, well, we're just glad. Because that would have been bad.
But you're holding the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Anyways, the point being, yeah, Breesh probably should have went in.
Well, it's a little... yeah.
She felt weird okay. All evening, Jody.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm just saying.
You're right.
If you want to know what...
Preventative.
You know, if you wanted to know what I would have said to do if I'd have pulled up in my ambulance... And you said, geez, do you think we really got to go in? I would say, I think it's wise we go in.
The perception is, if you stand up after it's occurred, everything is getting better from that point.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
But here's the difference, though. When we're talking lightning strike, we're not talking 110 volts.
We're talking electricity coming through your body.
Right. But there's a little difference in the amount of voltage. You can actually take million volts through your body. Yep. But it's the amperage that those volts are at. When you talk about a light...
You can take a million volts.
I'll have to show you...
Oh, it's on Steve Spangler?
I can tell you can definitely take 10,000. 10,000 volts is easy, because I'll show you the guy that does it all the time. Mr. Science Guy. But
nothing's wrong with him.
But that's right. He just has a little stutter.
He looks like he looks like that guy on Red Green.
What was his name? The bomb guy.
Yeah. No. The guy, shopkeeper.
The shopkeeper.
Wharton or
I don't
whatever.
Walt, isn't it? I don't remember. Anyway. Yeah,
Dalton.
Dalton. There you go.
Yeah.
But the deal is there is a big difference though between the amperage and voltage.
Yeah, sure.
Because if you've got a say you got a 1 amp, 110 volt electricity compared to a lightning strike, that's a lot of difference in the amount of power that's going through your body.
You're gonna see this thing happen. This guy goes down. It's all on video. It was on the gas station, closed like the security cameras.
And he walked.
Yeah. Five minutes later, after he woke up.
Sure.
It was not a direct hit though.
No.
It hit the pavement around him.
And the pavement doesn't conduct that well either.
No.
I mean,
cement doesn't usually conduct.
It was just the field.
It was the water. It was raining.
Oh, it was raining too.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah.
Okay. I say just the field around lightning, though, is amazing. Yeah. I can't remember the statistics, but the amount of energy that comes with that.
I can't imagine how loud it must have been.
Oh, yeah, that would have been deafening.
Yeah.
Deafening.
Yeah. Well, you'll be able to see it. We'll put a link on the website, www.irescueradio.com. Now, for the poll... Okay, so we asked if the swine flu was changing your travel behaviors. 54% of you said nope, and 46% said yes.
Congrats to the 54%.
I know.
Brave ones that said, yeah, I'm going to go from here to the grocery store.
Well, that's...
Okay.
All righty. Moving right along. So this week's poll question, is there such a thing as man flu?
What?
Yeah.
Wait, you have to explain yourself.
All right. Well, there's a theory. This happens to be out of Australia, too. Maybe it's only Australia.
Come from the den, land down under.
Couple too many kicks about a kangaroo.
Yeah. There's a conspiracy theory going on down there in the land down under.
Okay.
That men are wimps.
Really?
Maybe that's international. And so they're coining a phrase calling it man flu.
Just because I don't want the guy to go walking in the bush doesn't make me a wimp.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyways, what they're saying is men have an ability to turn a sniffle into the flu and a headache into the migraine.
Oh.
I...
How many of us, be honest, when you're ill, you're the biggest baby in town. You cannot function. You've got to crawl under the covers.
I don't know.
I'm going to refrain.
I'm telling you that the blessing of my marriage... is Jan puts up with me when I get a headache. Because when she's ill, I'm all, when's dinner ready?
No, you don't.
Oh, that's bad.
Dan, you do not.
Oh, Dan, you don't walk in and say,
why is my home not clean?
Yeah.
Dan.
Why are my children not bathed?
That's not even true.
And clothed and educated.
That's a lie.
Does the flower store have your
suck it up
special bouquet?
Keep your visa on record.
We don't want to go back to my flower ordering.
No, let's not do that. That was enough during Valentine's Day.
No.
But anyways, there was a number of women commented on this that said, men are wimps. And so they're saying that women have a much higher immune system. But even so, they're saying that it's because of their estrogen levels that they have a better immune system. And so they're suggesting, and this is a great idea, give men
make your
estrogen.
Men more women.
Yeah. Give men estrogen. Give them even more estrogen. Yeah.
We need more estrogen.
Are
I'm
you tired
just
of that?
Just want a cat who's more like a dog. Yeah.
Does that man drive you crazy? Well, don't freak out. Make him a woman.
Make him a woman. Yeah.
Give him estrogen.
Make him more like you.
Make him really your best friend. So anyways, do you believe that men over-exaggerate their illnesses? Yes or no?
Over-exaggerate or just exaggerate?
Yes.
Isn't that like Flaming Inferno?
Isn't it like Jumbo Shrimp?
No.
Oh, I get your point.
No,
that's
an opposite.
Oxymoron.
That's an oxymoron.
Jumbo Shrimp.
Oh.
Big Little.
All right, sorry.
Yeah.
Isn't that like Little Shrimp?
Yeah, now that's an over-exaggeration.
Were you invited to this conversation?
I'm not sure.
Can I have some tiny shrimp?
There you go.
Can I have some white vanilla ice cream?
But long and short of it is, anniversaries would be awkward.
Yeah.
So that's really what it comes down to. So put up with your husband's headache.
Yeah.
That's what I'm suggesting.
And give him an estrogen pill.
No,
or
that's
just,
my point.
Or just bring him a 12-pack of Coke in cans.
That's no, right, with the plastics. We've already had enough conversations about plastics. Yeah.
I think more tea level is what we're talking about.
Tea? I don't want tea.
Oh, I'm talking testosterone.
He's talking about testosterone. Now, listen here. I don't have any problem at all.
Shut your can.
He's talking about testosterone.
That's exactly right.
All right, ladies. So let's hear from your vote. Are your men wussies?
Wow.
Or should we buck up and become more men?
Be manly men.
I just don't know what the alternative is.
I think the women are actually asking, either be a man or take the estrogen and really become a woman.
That's the point.
Right?
Yeah.
So be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's important
I don't know
that they deal with the man they brought.
Oh,
that's exactly what I'm talking about.
So Dan's basically going, you knew what you was getting yourself into when you married me.
It's called courtship.
You knew you were getting the whole package. You'd
exactly
be happy you,
right.
What you got.
Yeah, there
that's
you go.
Precisely
bring
right.
me a beer.
Oh, no.
Thank and
you.
My slippers.
And my pipe.
My little lady better get going.
There's enough of that going
Youch.
On in the world. That's the problem.
Youch.
Thank you, Archie Bunker.
Yee. Uh-huh. That's like Focus on the Family, hosted by Archie Bunker.
That, yeah. Focus on Myself is more what that should
yeah,
be called.
Yeah, really. Oh, man.
All right.
Focus on the Manly.
Yeah. Unmanly.
So that wraps up another wonderful episode of iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at irescueradio.com.
The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.